Thank you, Daniel.
Yes, thank you. So, hello everyone. I'm Jari Lindroos.
And I'm Ida Toivonen, and we are here to give you a presentation about the future of AI-based methods. Our presentation will cover a brief description of AI and some of its possible applications. Then we're going to discuss the current trends in AI, a little bit about ethics of AI, and then some conclusions. So first, AI and its applications. As you may know, there are several different subfields in computer science. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is a branch of computer science that aims to create intelligent machines that are capable of performing tasks that typically require human intelligence. These tasks are, for instance, visual perception, speech recognition, decision making, and problem solving. Closely related to AI are the terms machine learning and deep learning. Machine learning refers to models that learn from their training data without explicitly given rules. Deep learning, or deep neural networks, involve especially deeper architectures consisting of multitudes of layers and the utilization of very large training data. And here are pictures to further visualize how deep neural networks work. On the left is a graph of a very simple deep neural network that has one hidden layer, H. The input X is being fed to network with one or several hidden layers, and then the net gives out an output Y. In reality, DNNs usually have a lot more hidden layers and are more complicated in architecture, when compared to the architecture that is presented in here. And on the right, we have an example image as input to visualize how DNNs work. And the visible layer has pixels or colors that are recognizable to the human eye, and that works as the input. And hidden layers here contribute to more fine-grained information being passed on through the network. They make it possible to process the input data, like image, with several levels of abstraction. More precisely, classic machine learning models learn from hand-designed features that are drawn from the input data. These models then create mapping from the features in order to provide the output data. So it's a pretty simple model. Deep learning models, however, utilize representation learning in a way that hand-designed features are not needed, but the models learn simple features of the data. Then, with those additional hidden layers, they learn more abstract features from the data. And from these abstract features, mappings are formed to give out output, I mean. And here are two terms, white box and black box, to further explain the difference between these rule-based and deep learning systems. With rule-based systems, we have explicitly written rules that the algorithm follows. So naturally, we can track and see when and how the values of parameters change throughout the code running. So with deep learning models or systems, features of the data are being learned and their more abstract features are learned, etc. So when training a deep learning model, we are mainly aware of the inputs and outputs, but the way the model learns, meaning how it comes to conclusions or gives predictions, it all happens in the dark, thus the name black box. As AI systems become more complex, understanding their decision-making processes becomes crucial. We mentioned earlier about black boxes and how challenging it is to explain how AI systems arrive at their decisions. Explainable AI aims to address this issue by developing methods and techniques that provide transparency and interpretability. Building trust in AI systems is vital, particularly in fields like healthcare, finance, and law enforcement, where critical decisions are being made. So, before utilizing an AI model or system, it has to be trained. The traditional way of training AI models involves using large data sets in the training process that happens in an supervised or unsupervised manner. In supervised learning, the model is provided with input-output pairs and it learns to map the input to the corresponding output. This process requires manually labeled data, meaning that humans need to have had annotated the data with the correct answers before starting to train the model. The model then learns during the training process to generalize from these labeled examples and make predictions on new unseen data. Here is an example of image classification task. The images of cards work as the input, and the names of the cards act as labels or the desired output in this case. Another learning type is called unsupervised learning. And in unsupervised learning, the model learns patterns and structures of the data without any labeled information. For example, in clustering, the distances of data points to the cluster's central points or centroids are calculated iteratively. So, in each iteration, we will get an approximation of to which cluster each data point belongs to. For example, in this picture here, you can see the centroids marked with white cross, and there being nine clusters overall. And unsupervised learning can be useful for tasks like feature extraction or data compression. So next up, we have some of the main domains of AI. One of them is natural language processing, or NLP in short. It focuses on making computers understand, interpret, and generate human language. It involves tasks like machine translation, toxicity detection, text summarization, and named entity recognition. Here is an example of an open source text data set that consists of English and French sentences. For example, in English, "Are we alone?" is translated to "Sommes-nous seuls?" It's good to note that the sentences are originally scraped from the web and that the English and French are assumed to be equivalent to each other. And the data set is very large, consisting of around 22 million samples. Another main domain is computer vision, or CV in short. It enables computers to extract meaningful information from images or video data. It includes tasks such as object detection, image classification, image segmentation, facial recognition, and visual scene understanding. For example, in a medical setting, we could have a data set consisting of MRI images of brains and classifying them to two different categories: the brain having tumor or no tumor. Then we have reinforcement learning, or RL. It involves the training of an AI agent to make sequential decisions through interaction with an environment. The agent learns to take actions that maximize a reward signal based on feedback that is received from the environment. RL has applications in game playing, robotics, recommendation systems, and autonomous vehicles. For example, in this one coding competition, the coders would create AI agents that can play football. And as with a typical football game, the objective was to have your team to score more than the other side. The results could be seen rendered in a physics-based 3D football simulation. And the last one is audio in AI. It focuses on the analysis, processing, and understanding of audio data, including speech recognition, music analysis, audio synthesis, and more. For example, in speech recognition, spoken language is converted into written text. It involves techniques like automatic speech recognition and voice command recognition. Speech recognition is used in virtual assistants, transcription services, voice-controlled systems, and voice biometrics. And in Finland, there's been this project called Lahjoita puhetta, or Donate Speech, where Finnish audio data is being collected to advance Finnish speech recognition. And then we tell you a little bit about the current state of AI. So, artificial intelligence has made significant progress in recent years, and generative models such as ChatGPT, released last year, are at the forefront of this progress, showing over 1.7 million billion users in its 1 year anniversary. AI technologies have found widespread integration in industries such as healthcare, finance, transportation, and entertainment. From voice assistants like Siri and Alexa to recommendation algorithms used by streaming services, AI is ubiquitous in our daily lives. It has enabled significant advancements in natural language processing, computer vision, and other fields of machine learning, as well as robotics. And the next slide is about something released today. Maybe Jari can take from here.
Yeah, so the breaking news for today, if somebody has not yet heard, Google revealed their newest large language model, Gemini. And this is a multimodal breakthrough, and it forges a new era in the multimodal interaction. Because unlike the traditional language models, Gemini can seamlessly integrate text, images, audio, video, code. And this was the first model to outperform human experts on a massive multitask language understanding benchmark, which is one of the most popular methods to test the knowledge and problem solving of the AI model. And it also surpassed the GPT-4 model in every text and multimodal benchmark, except for the HellaSwag benchmark, which is for evaluation common sense reasoning for everyday tasks. And Google has released this model in three sizes: Ultra, Pro, and Nano, all for different scalability purposes. And next, we will talk about the current trends in AI. So, the main technology behind many of the current top models, and even the newest Google's Gemini, is the Transformer. The Transformers have emerged as the groundbreaking model architecture in NLP, and they were first mainly used for tasks like machine translation. But later, they have been also utilized in computer vision. And now they are present in every multimodal capabilities in audio and videos also. And the main benefit of this architecture is the attention-based algorithm. This makes the mo possible for the model to learn features that are mapped in long distance and able to calculate them with less computational efficiency. And here in the picture, we can see related words. And even if they are at a faraway distance, they can still be mapped together. And this is the main difference from the traditional deep neural networks that have been used in the past. So, Some of the state-of-the-art models that has been based on transformers are BERT, short for bidirectional encoder representations for transformers, and GPT, generative pre-trained transformer, also vision transformer, and the newest Gemini. These all models have different variations for advanced language understanding or text generation and transfer learning. And there can be different types of models further developed or trained based on these models. For example, on Finnish language, there is a FinBERT model, which is based on the BERT architecture, but it was trained only with Finnish data instead of the original BERT, which was based on English data. Also, GPT may sound familiar to all of you because of ChatGPT or GPT-3 or GPT-4, and they present a type of generative model. Also, the final example is the vision transformer model presenting the DALL-E or stable diffusion types of model, where we can create nice work of art from just prompting a certain type of keywords. So, a bit about prompting. Prompting is the process of designing prompts to guide and direct the language model to generate the wanted output. And this is very crucial of utilizing the language models correctly. We have to carefully construct prompts that provide the language model with necessary context, instructions, and information to produce the output we want it to. And this may include clearly outlining what task is at hand, for example, summarize a text of something, or answer this question about this. And we also want to provide relevant background information and examples to further give the language model concepts and more understanding. But most of all, it is about iterating and refining, experimenting with different prompts and refining them based on the language model's response to optimize the wanted results. So, generative AI refers to a subfield of deep learning where new data or content is generated using existing data. And the goal is to produce something close to the original input. And in generative AI, these deep learning algorithms are used to learn patterns and features in the data, which may consist of code, text, images, audio, video, or any other data types. And this generative AI can either be unimodal or multimodal. And in unimodal, only one data type is used, such as text-to-text generation or images in image-to-image generation. When talking about multimodality, we use several modes, like in text-to-image, text-to-speech generations, seen from the examples, prompting a happy hippo flying through the sky. And six images are what the model thinks the prompt looks like. So, a bit more about large language models and their diffusion models. LLMs like GPT-4 are a type of deep learning model that has been trained on massive amounts of data and can generate human-like text. Common uses may include answering questions, summarizing, translating, generating code, generating block, or doing your homework. And the other models, diffusion models, are also a type of generative models that have gained significant attention in the field of machine learning because these models have been designed to generate very realistic samples in a process called diffusion process. And these diffusion models like DALL-E or Stable Diffusion learn from vast amounts of data that have been trained on many images and arts with the prompts of many different tags and categories related to that area. And this is why they have the ability to generate realistic text or art images and also even music, which this leads to a very exciting possibility in many creative applications. So, but newest breakthrough has been actually utilizing the large language models in reinforcement learning. Eureka, an AI agent developed by NVIDIA, which its primary function was to train robots to perform complex tasks. But it does this by automatically generating the reward algorithm, which is the main principle for training robots through reinforcement learning. So basically, the AI agent, which in this case was a GPT-4, the AI taps into the model and the generative AI writes the software code that rewards the robots for the reinforcement learning. And what is fascinating is that this Eureka doesn't actually require any task-specific prompting or any predefined reward templates. And it can even incorporate human feedback to tune the reward algorithm, but it is completely just based on the prompts of GPT-4. And the robots in this Eureka have learned to perform nearly 30 different tasks, which includes rapid pen spinning tricks, the basic running, walking, opening drawers, and tossing balls and such. But also, what GPT-4 has been used is to play Minecraft. And this is basically based on the same mechanism, but in this case, the game and GPT-4 basically communicate with each other by the agent providing the current state of the game to the GPT-4, which either critiques or informs whether the program achieves the task. And in addition, if the task fails, it will provide a critique suggesting how to complete the task. For example, how to build a house. If we are missing some wood, go punch tree. But next, let's talk about ethics and AI. So, even though many people use this generative AI, such as ChatGPT, these models still produce results that can be factually incorrect. And this is what we refer as AI hallucination. And this happens because the generative models that are trained on such massive amounts of data, the data includes both the factual info and also inaccurate information, which in as a result can cause these models to generate some text that is false or misleading. Seen in this summarization example on the screen, tries to summarize a link that doesn't exist just based on the link. And also, while this can have some creative applications, they pose a significant ethical concern, such as the misinformation, disinformation, and these kind of AI-generated hallucinations could be used to create or spread false or misleading information, which can potentially manipulate public opinion and cause harm. And also, these hallucinations could reflect and amplify bias in training data, leading to discriminatory outputs that can also be harmful. So AI hallucination acts as a warning example of the limitations the AI systems may hold. So it is important to consider the ethics when using AI. This means that since the rise of AI, when designing this and designing and implementing these AI systems, we must also take into consideration certain matters like privacy, bias, and job displacement. And in order to address concerns to ensure responsible and fair use of AI technology, we should ask questions like, how could we ensure that the AI system prioritizes human well-being and align with the human values? What mechanisms should be in place to prevent the AI system from causing harm or perpetuating bias? And how can we promote transparency and accountability in AI decision making? So, bias in AI systems is a critical issue that needs to be addressed. Biases can arise from biased training data or algorithmic bias, leading to unfair outcomes. And mitigating bias requires actually a diverse and representative training data, bias detection, and fairness-aware algorithms. AI applications often involve the collection, use, and storage of personal data, which raises many privacy concerns. So this is also crucial to ensure the responsible and ethical use of data, which may include informed consent or data anonymization and data security measures to protect users' individuals' privacy rights. And one way to handle this type of problems, in contrast to machine learning, is machine unlearning, which is the process of removing or modifying data or knowledge from a tra already trained machine learning model. This offers many advantages over just retraining a model because it's very costly and takes a very long time to train this large model. So utilizing these types of techniques is very important in the field. So one type of research going on in AI ethics is AI alignment, which refers to aligning AI systems with human values and goals to ensure they act in a way that is beneficial to everybody and ethical. This is to prevent unintended consequences and potential risks. The AI system must be held accountable for their action. Establishing clear lines of responsibility, accountability is essential, particularly in domains where the AI systems make the critical decisions. Also, transparency, explainability in AI decision-making processes enable scrutiny, auditability, and user trust. Here's one example of controversial use of AI when the AI models that have been trained on the art pictures, such as DALL-E, that originate from artists that may have not given the permission to use their art. And it's understandable that the artists may want to restrict their use of the art in order to preserve the possible future job opportunities. For this, there has been developed this kind of technology as a way to counteract this type of unwanted data scraping. For instance, there's a program that can alter an image in a way that tricks the AI model. Basically, the free-to-use program will add small amounts of noise to the image that is minimally visible to human eye, but it will really hinder the performance of the AI model.
So next up, we have some conclusions. So about the possibilities that lay in AI research. AI will be integrated into everyday life with smart homes, self-driving cars, virtual assistants, and AI-powered devices, enhancing convenience and efficiency. AI systems will also better understand and generate human language. This will lead to better conversational agents, translation services, and voice assistants. And rather than replacing humans, AI will most likely augment human capabilities and collaborate with us in solving complex problems. And ongoing research will focus on improving capabilities, driving innovation, and exploring new frontiers like explainable AI, advanced neural network architectures, and quantum computing. Then, maybe a bit about the pitfalls. The future of AI holds immense promise, but also necessitates responsible and ethical development. AI development doesn't happen in a void, but it will be continuously shaped by various factors like ethical considerations, societal choices, public perception, and regulatory frameworks. So fairness, transparency, and accountability should also be prioritized in future research due to possible bias and discrimination present in AI systems. So thank you all for listening, and here are some references. And maybe we have also some time left. Should we show our work that we have been doing in the form of a video or two?
Sure, I think we have the time. Just remember sharing the video. You need to share the audio as well.
Okay.
Click when you in the share screen already. I think there's a place where you can click share audio.
Okay.
See the subtitles though, so I think it's okay.
So this video was basically about this infrastructure project that we have been working on, and this shows an example case of using AI, or more specifically, named entity recognition for archival data. And then we have another video. Maybe we can get the voice this time.
In the heart of esports and live streaming, where excitement knows no bounds, it's more than just a game. It's a global phenomenon. But can we dive deeper into the chaos beyond the surface and unveil the voices shaping this experience? From a single esports match, where the chat is a symphony of emotions and reactions, to reveal the deeper insights, to discover who's behind the voice. This is where we find the true story of esports and live streaming. Whether you're a devoted fan or just exploring the Twitch universe, the Collector tool has you covered. It offers three brilliant ways to collect chat data, giving you the insights you crave. For those who thrive on live action, collect chat from a live livestream channel, staying in the moment and capturing the excitement of the live experience. Don't have any specific streamer in mind? No problem. You can collect past broadcasts from a specific game or category, filtering by language to match your preferences. Want to delve into the content of a particular streamer? Collect chat data from past broadcasts for a certain live stream channel, or gather chat data from a specific video ID. It's all at your fingertips. Rest assured, your collected data is securely stored in the cloud, ready to be accessed whenever you need it. And if you prefer to have a local copy, we've got you covered with the option to download the collected data after the collection is finished. To see the big insights in the data, just drag and drop the collected chat data into our analysis tool. Twitch chat messages can be hard to distinguish, especially in fast-paced streams with a lot of viewers. It can be difficult to tell who said what and which messages are unique and meaningful. One way to address this problem is to detect unique messages. This can be done by identifying messages that are original, informative, and relevant to the stream. Our machine learning-based content detection solution helps to filter out the more meaningful messages by classifying them into four distinct categories. With our data visualization options, you can dive deep into your chat content, revealing trends, patterns, and unique insights. Unveil the hidden narratives and discover the voices that drive the esports and live streaming community. Don't miss out on the true story behind the streams you watch. In the Twitch chat, we see a new kind of discourse in the making, combining text, visuals, and highly codified formulaic expressions. This presents an inspiring challenge for developing existing language models. Using our tools to dive deeper into esports and live streaming isn't just beneficial, it's PogChamp for your research. Visit the link in the description to get started and harness the insights that will propel your research forward.
And so that was another work package in the infrastructure project that we have been working on, or Jari has mostly been working on. So, thank you for all for listening. And that's about it, I guess.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.